on this episode of The Everett Lee Show, my guest, independent wrestler, Just Saying, and it happens right now.
The Everett Lee Show Podcast, a shot of entertainment.
Just Saying.
Hey, how's it going, man? How's it feeling?
Oh, not too bad. Not too bad. How you doing on this fine Tuesday night?
Oh, man. To tell you the truth, I'm a little bit beat up. I mean, this weekend was in the gym hard, training hard. Other than that, though, I'm good.
That's good. That's really good. We were chatting here right before I hit the record button, and we're sitting there talking about matches yours on YouTube, and we were talking about that match with you had on Gen Pro Wrestling, Daniel Alexander.
Yeah, that's my bro. We went to war a little bit, and it's kind of crazy because like both of us were just getting over being sick when that match came up. So like we were still fighting in there. It was fun though. It was fun.
That's amazing that getting over being sick and you guys still went out there and you still performed in front of a crowd. That's amazing. That shows the heart and dedication that you have for this business.
Yeah, no, we love this, man. And both of us are big on, you know, just fans putting on something for them that's memorable and that they can enjoy. Like that's kind of what we want to do.
I love it. I loved everything about that match, man. Just the pace of it and the spots and stuff. You're trying to get up on him, one up on him. He's trying to get one up on you, and just the action going into the corner, out of the corner, and just the spots there and the finish. I didn't expect that to happen, but that pretty much happened there with that finish there. I was like, oh wow. I was like, it's over. I was wanting more. Seriously, more out of that match.
So anybody who checks that match out, if y'all want to see the part two of it, see how we ended the saga, you can go to Wrestling We Are One Wrestling Vibes on YouTube. The match is on there. Check out Daniel Alexander's page. He has the match up on there too.
Nice. I'm just curious. How long have you been in the business? How long you've been wrestling? How long you've been doing this?
So I've been wrestling for 4 years. I've been professionally out on the indies for 3. So I started out in the yards. And I mean, it's kind of crazy because I started out in the yards kind of late. I'm 43 now. I started when I was 39. Was in the yards and I felt like I was pretty good. So I wanted to see how far I could go with it. You know, like it, like wrestling has always been something that I was a fan of. Like, you know, I grew up on wrestling. I grew up with the likes of like Randy Macho Man, Hogan, Brutus the Barber, Beefcake, Bret Hart, like those guys and so forth and so on. So, you know, I got the chance to do it and I was like, yeah. And here we are, 4 years later, you know, and I don't know. I never thought I'd be as far as I am with wrestling. But I just keep grinding just to see how much further I can go.
That's amazing. You're talking about people I grew up with too, as well, watching Hulk Hogan, Macho Man, Randy Savage, Brutus Beefcake and stuff. Just great, people in the business just to lay the foundation for what we have today in wrestling there, because I was talking about WrestleMania 3, the Intercontinental Championship match with Savage and Steamboat. That is like my favorite match there. I have to say, what's a number two now that comes close to it was this past weekend's WrestleMania, that triple threat with Gunther, Sheamus, and Drew McIntyre.
Bro, you want to talk about a banger? Oh my, man, them boys. Oh, they was hitting. Oh, they was hitting. I was sore watching it, bro. I was like, oof. I don't know if I could take too many of those. I'm just saying.
Yeah, just saying. it was a great match there, and I grew up watching the people that you mentioned there and stuff. When I mean, you said 39, you got into it doing 39 when you were 39, kind of like Diamond Dallas Page. I don't know if you're familiar with Diamond Dallas Page. He got into it late, and he had a hell of a career in professional wrestling, and you pretty much. I don't know if people's mentioned that to you before, or you're aware of that.
So, I mean, nobody has ever, like, I know Diamond Dallas Page's story. I'll start there. I know his story, but nobody has ever come to me in with that comparison or anything. Generally, when people see me, they think I'm like early 30s, late 20s. And they don't, and when they find out how old I am, they're like shocked. They're like, oh my God. So but yeah, no, I don't get it a lot.
Yeah, that is cool that, you know, you got into it. You know, you went ahead and you're like, I'm gonna do this. What was your first wrestling match that you went and seen? Was it an independent show? Was it a WWE show, WCW show? What was your first live wrestling event you went to?
The first live wrestling event I went to was a WWE show. It was, I believe it was in Extreme Rules. Mm-hmm. It was here at the Wells Fargo Center.
Oh, okay.
It was the first one. Yeah. It was the first one. My memory's bad. I couldn't tell you what year, but it was like one of the first ones that came through.
Okay. Whereabouts do you live there? You said Wells Fargo Center. That sounds really familiar. Philly. Okay. That's okay. When you said Wells Fargo, I'm like, you live somewhere close. Up in the area up there somewhere, Philly. Okay. Yeah. That's amazing, man. I mean, I'm sure you're excited next year for WrestleMania 40 coming to Philadelphia.
Oh man. This is going to be one long year of grinding. Cause yeah, I'm real excited about that. So yeah. It's not the first time WrestleMania has been here, but, I don't know. What I think they're going to do with the stories, or what I would like to see with the stories, and that I'm hoping they go with. I'm real excited for that, for Mania, plus the opportunities. They should be pretty big, pretty huge. So I'm looking forward to those too.
That's amazing. It's going to be great. I mean, WrestleMania 14 came to Philadelphia. That was big. That was Steve Austin, Shawn Michaels in the main event. Austin with WWE Championship. Philly, Wells Fargo. They've had a lot of wrestling there, and there's a lot of wrestling around the area there too.
Yes, there is.
You pretty much have grown up in Philly then.
Yes.
Yeah. Okay. When did where did you go and get trained at? When did you, like, what schools or who did you look up around the area there close to you that you wanted to go and, you know, you wanted to pursue this when you're like,
so starting out when I was in the yard, there was a guy there named Ozzy. He started training me. He showed me some stuff that helped me out in the yard, but, you know, in order to go to the next level, I needed actual training. So I was with this Fed Delta Wrestling Alliance and started training there. And then my brother Daniel Alexander, he showed me this place over in Deptford, I think it is, Skid Row Wrestling Academy. And that's where I go to train now. Been training there most of my professional career. I might pick up seminars here and there from other people. Like I've done a seminar under Preacher. But yeah, that's where I train at currently.
Okay. I've heard of Skid Row. I've heard of it before, man. I've heard it before on I believe different podcasts, or I've heard it somewhere before someone talked about that. It's pretty well known.
Yeah, no, they teach you how to wrestle. They teach you how to be a pro.
That's good. I do gotta ask you this. How was it taking your first bump? I always love asking, man.
So like before I took my first actual bump in a match, you know, people, you know, was hyping it up and you're going to be sort of the other day. And I took it and I was like, that's not so bad. I kind of like, so, all right, I'm a little weird. I kind of liked it. This is probably why, it's probably why I'm doing it. I was like, that's nice. Yeah.
A couple years ago when at the end of a CFWU show, so a couple guys got back in the ring and they were just hitting the ropes just for fun there. And I got in the ring and it was like the first time I actually got into a wrestling ring. And I was like, show me how to bump. Like, you want to take a bump, Everett? I said, yeah, show me how to bump. And I got down, I squatted and went like the, you know, and threw your hands back. The first time I did it, oh, it was wrong. They're laughing. No, can't do it like that. So, because I didn't really tuck my chin. And then the second time, boom, I hit. I was like, whoa. I was like, that's what it feels like now. So I got more of an idea, and I have more respect for people getting in a ring now, because after I took a bump myself, I was like, I get it now. And I was like, I want to do that again. So yeah, I did it again. Yeah.
And now, don't get me wrong with what I said. Like it's jarring. Like don't mistake me being like, I like it. And yet, like, it's jarring. Don't, like, yeah, you feel it, but yeah, it feels good. I like it.
Yeah, I was like the guy who showed me how the bump. He was like 20 year vet, and I was, you know, in the back cleaning up my production stuff, and he came up to me. He goes, "Hey," he says, "I've shown people like 18 younger than you, you know, to, you know, take bumps, and they're crying." He's like, "You took it," and he's like, "It didn't even faze you, man." And so I kind of got a little bit of respect there, a little bit from the boys. So I was like, that's cool. So that I love that. I love that. And one of the guys, one, we were ribbing each other in the back one night before a show. One of the guys, Big Johnny Lopez, he's like, we were talking about chops. He's like, "You ever took a chop?" I said, "No." And so the guys got me, and he hauled off and chopped me across that chest. I was like, "Whoa!" And he's like, "That's like," and oh man, it's just, yeah. I was like, I know what a bump and a chop feels like now.
Yeah. I ain't got a lot of chest, so I try to stay away from them chops. Could you imagine Gunther chopping me? Oh no.
Jeez. that guy, I gotta give props, since you brought him up. I gotta give that guy props, man. Total transformation from a year ago, dropping,
yeah, man,
slimming down and just going at it, man. He's a workhorse. He's definitely a workhorse. And what I like about him as a heel champion is he's like a fighting champion. He'll, and he's been winning clean here too as a heel, which normally you don't see that a lot.
I mean, the ring is sacred, bro. Like, He about that life. I love it, yo. I love it.
Yeah.
Every now and then his boys will interfere though, but like for the most part, he's that triple threat finish, bro. I was like, yo, they made him look strong.
Yeah. Yeah. They definitely made him strong. I think he's gonna hold on to that Intercontinental title for a long time, probably for another year. They want him to at least break a record.
I hope so. I hope so. Like please, let's keep that title relevant. Like I miss that title being relevant. Like I remember when the Honky Tonk Man had that, like that belt was like the belt next to, I mean, of course, the, you know, the world, but
mm-hmm.
it had relevance.
Mm-hmm. Do you believe the person makes the title or the title makes the person?
Person makes the title.
Person makes the title.
Person makes the title. Like, I mean, everybody's a smart mark now. Like, for all intents and purposes, you know, a title is just a part of the story that's being told. You want to tell a story because that's what gets people invested. That's just part of the story. So you as a character have to make that mean something for the story. Like it's gotta, you as a character have to show I'm this champion. That's why this belt means something. Like it's just something you gotta do. It's not the belt that makes you a champion. It's you.
Yeah. Yeah. I like it when you see two people fighting over a title. I like that because, yeah, I agree. It tells a good story because the one that wants the title needs the title because they have to have that. And the one who has it needs to protect it because they have a lot to prove that it's like, you're just another person, you know, I'm going to go through, you know, defending this title, but
I have this for a reason. I'm the best.
Yeah. Yeah. It, you know, it shows you're the best. Yeah. And I like that. I especially like when you get the baby face chasing the title. I love that type of story, man. Because
yes, it's with that moment when they finally get it, that moment that create that moment for the fans and it's tangible. They love it.
Yeah. Yeah, the long term, I like long term booking and long term story because, yeah, at the end of the story, the payoff, it's good when you have the payoff there.
Yes, yes, yes. That so, like, those are actually, you know, some of the things that I look for when I look for like promotions that I want to work at, like, because I want to perform in story. Like I want storylines. I want something, you know, I can give to the fans more than just, you know, a good performance in the ring. Like give them something that they can connect with, something they can be like, oh, that was great. I love that guy. He was so good. Or, oh my God, I hate that guy. He's such an asshole. Like either or whichever way, but like, that's why I do it.
Yeah. Yeah. You when you get the fans in your hand and they're connecting with you and they're following everything that you do in the ring by telling a good story and they're following up with everything that's going on, the payoff at the end is just, it's just amazing there. And I do like when, you know, the heel gets the one up the 1 week on, or the 1 month on the face, and then next, you know, goes back and forth and stuff. I love that. I love that type of storytelling because it draws me in there.
It's intriguing.
Mm-hmm. It does. There's one local promotion here next, not far from where I live here in Daytona, Go Wrestle, and they got people that every month they've bring out people, and there's people telling stories. And next month you want to see what's going to happen. You want to see what's going to happen with the story. And I love that because it makes you want to come back and you want more and more of that. You invest your time into that and just to see right. a good, you know, good match and good story.
Right. Like that. It's a marriage. Like I feel like you need both. There has to be both. You can have a 5-star match, but if there's no story to it, there's no stakes on it, that like it's just a match.
Mm-hmm. It is. You're right there. You're right. I feel like when like the psychology in the in-ring psychology, why are you doing that? Why a purpose for this? Why are you doing this? Why are you doing that? And there's some workers and some matches I don't see a lot of that in nowadays. And when I do see that match that has that story, I'm like, it draws me in because I want more. I want more out of that. I want to see where else you taking me.
Right, exactly. Like it should seem like a struggle. Like it's like this is a battle. Like not only, I mean, yeah, stories can revolve around the competition or whatever else, but at the end of the day, you step into the ring and you're doing battle to come out on top. So there's got to be a story. There's an ebb and a flow. And sometimes the good guy wins. Sometimes the bad guy wins. Whatever, however it goes, you've got to find a way to tell it. That's what makes it art.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, exactly. You got to find some way to get it across there. And I was telling you about when I was doing color commentary for Adrenaline Wrestling, because I love being the heel commentary, just getting to, you know, get away with stuff, just, you know, booing the face and, you know, cheering for the heel and stuff. And then they come by commentary, I'm like, hey, what's up? And they just blow me off and I'm like, ah. And you know, and then so when they get in the ring, when they go back and listen to that match, all of a sudden it's like, I'm hoping the face kicks their butt now because you blew me off.
Like I think commentary is like one of the more underestimated parts of wrestling. I would like to see a lot more indie shows with good commentary because it helps with the story. And yeah, like good commentary, like really I feel like it's that seasoning. Or like you have a great match with a great story and you got the great commentary to season it up. That little I feel it's necessary, man. I don't know.
Yeah. When I listen to commentary now at some indie shows, it's like you don't really get that heel commentary guy who's there just rooting for the bad guy. You don't. It's like it's just kind of mellow there. They're just, you know, I know calling the action and telling that part of the story there, but you know, you need to have that one guy in there who's just that person that's just like a Bobby the Brain or Rowdy Roddy Piper, which I draw from. You got to have that.
Heenan was hands down one of the best heel commentary ever. Like I loved Heenan on commentary. He was good. Oh, that man was great.
Mm-hmm. Still my favorite commentary from Heaton was the barbershop incident. Michaels and Jannetty there. Mm-hmm. Michaels threw Jannetty through the window.
Super kick demon in.
Wow.
It's bad too, because like I was a kid when I watched that. And like as a kid, like I knew Michaels and Jannetty were going to break up because they had been hinting at it. They were beefing in matches and stuff like that. So then they come on and talking to Barber, and I was like, "How's it going to happen? How's it going to happen?" And as soon as he kicked them, I was like, "Oh, let's go!" Oh, Oh, yeah. Man. That started the rise of Shawn Michaels.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it did. It did. I still never forget Heaton. Monsoon. It was like, look at that brain. Shawn Michaels, you believe what did happen there? And he's referring to Michaels throwing Jannetty in the through the window. And Heenan's like, yeah, look at that coward Jannetty jumping through the window.
Yeah. He was wild, bro. Oh, man. Wow.
Yeah. I pulled a little bit of Bobby Heenan there when I was calling a match with Devin Nikkei and Leroy Shogun out of Adrenaline. Nikkei was the face, Shogun was the heel. Excuse me. And he's like, Nikkei mentioned something. He's like, yeah, you didn't remember my name when you had David Mercury on your podcast. You forgot my name. After tonight, you're gonna remember my name. And I was like, all right, mental note, I'll remember that. So in that match there, I was just, cheering for, Leroy. I was like, get him, Leroy. I said, that's right. Break that leg off, beat him with it. Yeah, I'll remember your name after Leroy beat your ass with that. Well, after you, your own leg, I remember that. And then, this is my town. And I was like, I'm jumping up, I'm standing up, I'm clapping. I'm like, that's right, Leroy, this is your town. Kick his ass. Went back and listened to that. He's like, what the hell, man?
Hey, listen, you said I was going to remember your name, so I remembered your name.
Yeah, when Leroy beat you. And,
bro, yeah, getting your ass beat by somebody named Leroy is wild.
great match. I mean, it was, yeah, Leroy went out there, he did a great job. Devin Nikkei went out there and did a great job. But yeah, it's just I love just, calling the action like that, being heel, just doing that there. I like the tactics of the heel, man, when they, they cheat and they distract the ref, especially in tag team.
Oh man,
love that.
So, like, one of my favorite things to do is, the drag the eyes across the rope. Yeah, I love that. It's like, what, ref? What? I got five. Love it. I love it.
Yeah, I love that. I love the dirty tactics of the heel, man. Because I especially like when you see a face and they do that heel turn. They like change everything up with their style and everything and stuff. And then sometimes you don't see that. It's like, they just, they talk.
They're still wrestling the same. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. You're talking trash on the mic. Okay. Yeah. That's, you got that down, but now show me, how you changed, how this angle happened to where it made you turn on the fans. Why are you turning on the fans? I want to see stuff like that,
Make me believe it. And then yeah. Like, if you really feeling like this, then I should see some kind of translation of that in the ring. Like, if you're like all talking shit, then you the convert, you should be, there should be cowardly moments in the ring. Mm-hmm. You should be like, yeah. Stuff like that. Hide out the ring, hide out the ropes.
Blair was good at that when he was heel, man. He'd jump on his knees, no, and just went in the ref, get distracted, low blow,
right to it every time, bro. Everybody fell for it. The dirtiest player in the game, man.
Yep. Especially the meal kick when he had the, like, when the ref wasn't looking and he just
threw that. Lift the leg right up. Flair was great, man. Oh man, his selling was,
yeah,
amazing. Mm-hmm. I wish I could get to that level of overselling. Not that good at it yet, but I'll get there. That man is magic in the ring.
Hey, he is. And did you see his last match he did with Jarrett and Lethal and Andrade?
So no. I don't have cable.
Oh.
but I saw clips of it, and I'm like, bro, I much respect, man, because you like 75 years old, getting busted open the hard way. Like, I don't know if I'll be doing that at 75. I hope I'm in the shape to be able to, at least, because
we were taking, me and my brothers were like, okay, how long, how many minutes is it going to take for Flair to, juice and show some color there, and we're sitting there, like, I think it was like 15, 20 minutes or like 10 minutes, and it's like, there he goes, so you've seen the hair turn Kool-Aid red. It's like,
yep.
There he goes.
Him and Hogan, man, whenever they was busted open, their hair was all, like, always, now it's a pink mask or depending on how bad it was, full red. It was crazy.
Yeah, it was. Now, do you, since we're talking about heels, do you prefer working face or heel? What do you like?
So face comes a little harder to me. But I like being face. It's fun. Being face is fun. I've never really thought about that.
No?
Heel. Definitely heel. Definitely heel.
Yeah.
Yeah. I get the my interactions with fans when I'm heel are a lot more visceral. it's all fun, man. Like they get into it, get into the match. We all have a good time.
Yeah, that's. Yeah, I've talked to a lot of people. They say, yeah, they like working heel. When they work heel, they like that because, it's being a face, you got to get people to like you, and it's much more harder. As a heel, it's just, I do like those heel turns to face, in the right moment, in the right setting. It has to be a reason. And then if someone's who's been a heel for a long time and it's like, they're starting to get over with the fans, it's like, okay, you got to turn him and you got to, do it when the, strike when the iron's hot, because if not, it's like, you're going to miss that opportunity.
Yeah.
And
you miss the time for it.
Mm-hmm.
Heels, like, it's just, I mean, the thing with babies, like, you, if you're baby, you really got to get that sympathy. Like when you're getting your ass beat, like, you really got to connect with that crowd and pull them in to get them to want to see you, come back. They want to see you get your comeuppance. Like, fight, baby, fight. Like that. Like, as a heel, you just really. Like, you pretty much act like you don't care what the fans think. You just be like, the fans say something, shut up. You don't got to do much to get a reaction. It's great.
Especially when you get the grandmothers mad. If you, the grandmothers at wrestling, I know you've probably seen that, where they want to climb over that barricade and get into it.
So... I forget who it was, but like, one of the first shows that I worked, guy told me, if you get the kids, you've got the crowd. So when I'm coming out as a heel, I look immediately for what kid I'm going to piss off. Immediately. Yeah, you're going to be real mad at me today. And I will torment that child. I will take the baby right to that kid and choke the baby. Like, yeah, this your hero, right? This your, like, oh, man. I'm this is your fault. What's happening? All your fault. You did this. Like it's it definitely heal more fun. it's definitely.
Talking about kids, I know MJF got a lot of heat. I mean, when does he not get heat? The guy, he gets it, you know, and it's amazing. And he threw that cup of water on that kid, and people were like, oh, you know, just he got heat on that. Well, I mentioned to someone, I said, what about Ted DiBiase when he knocked the basketball out of that kid's hand?
Like,
forget about right, that.
So
right?
there were a lot of people that had something to say about what MJF did. I loved it. I thought it was, bro, it was great. I'm sorry. As a heel, that's what you're supposed to do. Like, think about it. That kid just had a moment. Now, of course, yes, he's going to hate MJF for life. But that kid got to go backstage. That kid got to be cheered up by some of his favorite stars on that roster. Mm-hmm. That kid has a memory for life. That kid is going to grow up saying, yeah, you know, this one time, you know, this wrestler MJF, that pussy, he threw water on me. Like that's going to be a story that he can tell from now on. That's what you should be doing it for. Like, I can't, yeah, there are things that cross the line. I don't think that was one. That was good heel shit. Good heel shit.
it was good because yeah, the same thing happened to the kid Ted DiBiase did, and they brought him backstage and Ted talked to him and he cheered him up. There was a picture a while back ago, DiBiase, I think, put up, or someone that was close to DiBiase put it up. I think it was on Twitter or Instagram, and it showed DiBiase and the kid, and then like years later, the kid ran into DiBiase again. They took a picture together. I thought it was pretty cool, you know.
See, and you know what DiBiase should have did? He should have had a ball and had the kid knock the ball, and they filmed it. And like, like that would have been a whole ball. See, like things like that, though. But like, yeah, that's it's stuff like that, which is why I wrestle.
Yeah, it's entertainment, man. You put on a show for the kids and just people, and just, you know, they cheer you, boo you. You know, that's what they do.
And fans will never lie to you about, you know, what they think about you.
It's nah. Gonna happen. There's one area in the country. I think it's Kentucky. Kayfabe's still alive there because when I forget his name. Good friend of mine. I was friends with JJ McGuire. He co-wrote a lot of the wrestling theme songs back in the '80s with Jimmy Hart.
Okay.
They did a show for this promotion there, and Tracy Smothers, okay, turn heel, and as soon as he turned heel, the crowd got into it, and they are yelling. It's like he's like, "Hey, just screwed him!" But dude, come over the barricade, man. Just like,
oh, that's wild. Oh, that's wild.
Yeah, it is. Kayfabe is still alive in Kentucky, man, because they were like, as soon as Tracy turned on JJ and his guys, they're like, he just screwed him. They're trying to come over the barricade. Security's trying to put him back. Like, no. I mean, they were wanting to tear him up, you know.
Oh, that's great. That's great.
It is. I still think one of the like greatest moments in wrestling was Andy Kaufman. He got that there, and I mean, he, like, for kayfabe, that right there is like the, like, from Savage, cream of the crop right there. For
cream of the crop, always rises to the top.
Still today.
Savage, listen.
Yeah.
My guy.
Yeah. Savage. I mean, yeah, he still to this day, one of the greatest moments in TV history is still from the David Letterman when Jerry Lawler smacked the shit out of Andy Kaufman. It's still top 10 100 greatest moments on television. Letterman, man, I laugh at his expressions. He didn't know what the hell was going on. Jerry. Yo,
listen, I'm going to tell you exactly what was going through David's head at that moment. He was like, yo, just smack the shit out of it. Like, on lot, this is on air. What do I ask? Like, bro, like, he rocked him too. I was like,
yeah. Yeah. And he told him, you know, because Jerry told Andy, he's like, we apologize. This is it. The feud's over. There's no, you know, continuing it. And that's when Andy's like, yeah, smack me. He's like, just, I still like the fact that when he got pal-drived, you know, by the king there, he wore a neck brace around and he was.
I'm going to sue. You violated me. Oh, man. Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's good shit.
Tough, man. Hey, a few years ago, I met Jim Cornette and talking to him. And one of the things I walked away from talking to Cornette was back in the day, he said that people said, yo, you're stealing stuff from me. He said, stealing stuff happens all the time in wrestling. And Cornette said, it's like if you take something from here, or you take something from there and here and you put it together, it's not stealing, it's research.
Yeah.
I'm using it for research purposes. And that's one of the things I walked away when I talked to him, you know, when I got to meet him. But I walked away with that right there. It's like, of course, other wrestlers, I mean, how many times have people used everyone's moves? You know, like Billy Gunn said it best. You know, I asked him when I met him at that same.
Can't hear you. Give me 1 second. I think my earbuds may have died.
Uh-oh. Okay.
Oh, wait, there you are. You're back.
I'm back. Okay.
All right, cool.
Billy Gunn said, I asked him about the Famouser from Dolph Ziggler. I said, right. Feel about Dolph Ziggler using your Famouser, and he said, how I feel about it. He says, I'm flattered, but he's like, we're not reinventing the wheel here. Look how many times people have used moves, you know, it's like they're using moves now that were finishers into transition moves like DDT and, you know, stuff like that.
Right.
And he was like, everyone uses a move. You know, no one's stealing anything. I know back in the day, it's like you wouldn't use like someone's finisher, like Harley Race.
Right.
You wouldn't use his finisher. He'd come after you.
Yeah. No, I mean, like, yeah, like there's only so much you can do as far as making like a unique move. I don't know. I think my finisher is pretty unique. I haven't seen anybody do it. I hope it stays that way. I want to be the only one doing it because I mean I think it's pretty cool. But I don't know, like it's like wrestling has been around for a really long time. There's only so many ways you can slam a person.
Yeah. And it's just, you know, you got to put your own touch on that, you know.
Exactly.
Separate from the rest, and that's all you gotta do there. And pretty much like when I was watching a match with Daniel Alexander Gen Pro Wrestling, I know we talked a little bit about it, you know, before we started recording here tonight, and I'm gonna have to go back on their YouTube channel there and check that out. Besides wrestling for Gen Pro Wrestling, what other promotions have you wrestle for?
So I wrestle for Pro Wrestling R. I wrestle for Kaiju Pro Wrestling. We Are One, of course. And recently Chosen Pro Wrestling. So, yes. And Chosen, for those who don't know, new company just starting up. We're having our first show, Inception, April 15th. It's at the Bayville Elks Lodge, Bayville, New Jersey. Come out if you're close in the area. It's going to be a great show. A lot of great talent. They recently had a tryout, the free-for-all event. And they picked a... Inception, yeah. They picked 10 guys. They're the quote-unquote chosen ones. And a couple other people also made the roster, too. So we're all going to fight it out for the top spot. And it was a great experience, though. The camp was the tryout was great. Shout out to all those who made it. I was a little disappointed when I didn't. It's okay. I still made the roster. You know, I got to be in the showcase match later that night on Titan. You can see that on Titan. Just saying. But yeah, you guys that got that top spot, just know I'm coming. It's nothing personal. It's nothing personal at all. I love you guys. You guys are awesome. Y'all rock. But I want y'all spot. Just saying.
Nice. Now, I had PJ on a few weeks ago. About a couple weeks ago, I had PJ Savage on. He's deeply involved with Chosen Pro Wrestling. He's pretty yes. much what he said when he was on the podcast here. He said he's running behind the scenes there. And he pretty much summed up that Chosen Pro Wrestling is like NXT to what Titan Championship Wrestling is, which I think yes. is amazing, because having people as yourself being a part of it, from what I've already seen already from watching that one match, which I'm going to be checking out more with you. I like what I see, because knowing you're on there, I definitely want to see more talent that's going to be a part of that there. That's going to break out there. And how, since we're talking about Mr. Savage here, PJ Savage, I know he was supposed to jump in here with us tonight. I don't know what happened, but PJ.
Man working.
working. Last time he was cutting promos. So he may be cutting some promos, getting, you know, working, you know, doing that. But I mean, I love everything what PJ does in wrestling. I've been watching his matches for quite some time now, and over a year now. I've got to see what he's done with himself in wrestling, and just I love everything about it. And when he talked about Chosen starting this up, I was just like, wow, this is going to be great, man. We need more wrestling with someone with his mindset and how he thinks, and how just talking with you tonight, man. This is I'm gonna say it again. This is cream of the crop right here. I love
always
it.
Always rises to the top. Ooh, yeah.
Beside yourself being a part of Chosen Pro Wrestling, what who else should people be a lookout for that's a part of this?
As far as part of Chosen or just in general?
Part of Chosen that's gonna be part of Chosen. Who should people eye out to besides yourself?
So there's one guy I was actually in a fatal four way with him on Facebook Live for Chosen, Kamikaze. He says he's explosive, yeah, and in the ring he really is. He's somebody you want to keep your eye on. You can see him, he's got the headband, he's down in the corner. Michael Fain is another guy. He's a star in the making. Like you can just see it. It's written on him. It's the whole roster is stacked, man. Like realistically, like you could come out to see everybody. Like we got guys like you got the tag team up right there. Bro, those guys, all of those can go in the ring. You actually even have a Monster Factory student in there, and Oliver. So like, I can't say enough about these guys, man. It's going to be a great show. If you're in the area, come out. If you're not in the area, but you know you're looking for something to do on a Saturday afternoon, take the trip and come out, man. You're not gonna regret it. These two guys right here, yeah. El Trabajador and Joe Clean, man, I hate to see them going against each other, man. Like I feel like they should be working together to make every facility a better place. I mean, we got the maintenance man and we got Joe Clean, man. Like these guys, it hurts my heart to see them fighting, but they gonna fight. So they gonna fight. I'm just saying. Yeah, these four guys right here. Yeah, there's Kamikaze. Yeah, I'm coming right for you. Yeah, I mean, John Rambo's another one. He's a like all four of those guys really are monsters in the ring. It's going to be a hot one. That might be match of the night. I don't know. I'm picking it though. I'm picking it. Match of the night.
Match of the night. Okay, you heard it right here, ladies and gentlemen, on the Everett Lee Show. Just saying. Match of the night right here. This fatal four-way right here.
It's my pick. It's my pick. We'll see what happens, though. It's a lot of competition. We'll see what happens.
Yeah. Yeah. Card looks good. I mean, card looks good. It's going to be amazing, man. This is definitely going to be amazing. I'd love to see this live. I love going to a new promotion that's just starting out. Just be there. It's like I was at their first show. You know, it's like you'll never forget that. It's history in the making.
Also, for those who can't make it live, I do believe it will be on MobFi TV. So, okay. You know, if you download the app, it's free. You'll be able to watch it there. There's also a documentary that is being shot. So you can be able to watch the documentary there and all of Titans matches and shows there too.
Nice. Nice. PJ gave me that app and I've got it installed on my Fire Stick and I'm just been busy, and especially this weekend I'm gonna get around. I'm gonna sit down. I'm gonna go back and watch some Titan, you know, championship wrestling.
There's a lot of shows in there. Good shows, man. Good shows.
I'm gonna definitely get to check it out. One thing I noticed behind you, I see a title hanging behind you there.
Yes sir. Yes sir.
Yeah, what title is that you have in your possession?
So I am currently the We Are One Omega champion. We actually have a show on April 30th where I will be celebrating 1 year as champ.
Oh, nice. Nice. Yeah.
It's been a long year. Got like I said, I was telling you part two of Daniel Alexander. He's one of my defenses.
Oh man, that's going to be amazing. I love it, man. I definitely love it. I'm excited for Chosen. I definitely am. And I can't wait for it to come on there where Titan Championship Wrestling is so I can actually watch it and I'll be like, yeah, this is going to be great. Because I told PJ, I was like, dude, I'm like, I'm seeing, you know, I see matches, you know, it pops up. It's like here or there. Of you with matches and nothing. It's like I want to see like a full Titan show. And
right.
Like, oh, here, let me give you the app. And he sent it to me and he's like, you download it. And I was like, yeah, I'm in, man. This is I'm glad because I asked my friend David C. Russell and who I got to meet PJ through, because I've known David for so long. And I told David, I'm like, there's one guy I want to interview. This was last year. And he said, who's that? I said, PJ Savage. He's like, oh man, I had him on. Hey, yeah. It just, it went from there and stuff. And I told David, I'm like, where can I watch Titan, man? I was like, IWTV don't have them on there. They have Invictus, but I want to see Titan. And he's like, I think it's on their Facebook. And just, I didn't see anything. I see all the promotion advertising. But
right,
when I talked to PJ a few weeks ago, I'm like, dude, where can I see Titan at? And he gave me that app there. He sent me the link to download. I'm like, yes, this is about time.
Yeah, no, it's actually a pretty cool little app too. Like, you know, I'd recommend it. I mean, at the very least, to watch Titan and Chosen. Just saying.
Yeah, then you can, if Titan has a live event on there, you can actually watch it on there too, live, right? Or is it just recorded?
That I don't know. Okay. And I don't want to give out any information that I don't want to say yes or no to it. I'll just leave it at I don't know.
Okay. That's fine. And since we're talking about promotions and stuff, if you want to again run by, let listeners and viewers know where they could see more of you at events and like what else do you have going on later this year too?
Pro Wrestling R, We Are One. We Are One will be running shows throughout the year, as will Pro Wrestling R, Smash Master, GTS. I think that's it for now, but you know, I'm always updating my schedule. Easiest way to find out, just follow me on Twitter at justsayingdg1.
Okay. And you pretty much are on social media, especially on your Twitter, on there, just letting people know what's going on, updating.
Yeah, like I mean I do tweet random things occasionally. I'm a victim of social media, yes, but any events that I have where I'm going to be at, I definitely post them on my Twitter.
Okay. Yeah, I was looking on your Facebook page here, man. You pretty much, yeah, you got a lot of stuff that you've like just going through your feed here. And yeah, it's just you promote, that's great. You're promoting just wrestling events, just a lot of stuff on here. I love what I'm seeing, man. That's
good. Trying to unite indie wrestling, man. Like, just doing what I can to make indie wrestling better.
That's great. And one question I want to ask you before we take it home here, like bookings and stuff. Do you travel outside of Philly there, for any bookings, depending on what it is?
So, and like in general, I'm booked in Jersey, north and south. I have traveled to Connecticut. And I'm not against traveling for bookings. Listen, somebody in Texas wants a match with me, I'll be there. Somebody in California wants a match with me, I'll be there. Someone in Colorado wants a match with me, I'll be there.
Okay. Nice. I love that. That is awesome, man. This has been great. This has definitely been great talking with you, getting to, you know, talk about wrestling, talking about the promotions, talking about how you know, what inspired you and how you got into wrestling. I love this conversation, man. I can't wait to have you back again on the podcast.
Thank you. I appreciate you having me, man. This was a lot of fun, and yeah, I would love to come back.
Oh, no problem, man. This has been great. This has definitely been great. And I want to thank everyone for tuning in, listening to this audio portion of this podcast, which you can find every release show on all audio podcast platforms, and watching it, the video version right here on the Everett Lee YouTube channel. And that's it, ladies and gentlemen. Thank you. for tuning in, downloading, listening, and watching this episode of the Everett Lee Show. Everett Lee signing off. Everyone have a good day, good week, and we'll see you next time for another new episode of the Everett Lee Show. Peace.
Follow the Everett Lee Show on the following social media platforms: Facebook, The Everett Lee Show; Twitter, at the Everett _Lee; Instagram, Everett Lee. Subscribe, follow The Everett Lee Show on the following platforms: anchor.fm/Everett Lee Show, YouTube, Everett Lee, and Johnners Podcast Network, WrestlingWithJohnners.com.